I just want to say something. I feel like the preacher said, before I preach, I want to say something important. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, I just want you to listen to this for a moment. You don't need to turn there. Don't have to if you don't want to. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. You cannot take the word of God, you cannot take what Pastor Kirk is going to say or what I'm going to say today, and just think it through with your natural mind. It'll blow it. You know, you tell people that you get by giving, they say, what are you talking about? You get by hoarding. No, not scriptural. That when we are weak, then we are strong. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. And so as we try to understand a culture of honor, of honoring everybody, even if they don't honor us, of honoring God and our Father and Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and other believers and unbelievers, it's kind of hard sometimes to come to grip to it. But I know Kirk is just going to open that up so you have no problem. And I'll come and do the benediction. God bless you, buddy.
But it's so different because it's a different kingdom. If you want a spiritual solution, it works in those kind of principles. It doesn't work, right? Okay. Our ways are not his ways. Somebody tell me do you guys know the story about the guy that came up and asked Jesus, you know, because they had so many rules and regulations and laws and some man-made and some God-given, and there just was all of these laws, and someone came up, do you know the story? Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Like, if you could sum it all up, if you could really give us this in a nutshell, what is it? Do you guys know that story? What was it? By a show of hands, how many is that vaguely familiar at least? Maybe you can't quite quote it, but you kind of know what story we're talking about. Jason, you want to put that up there? In Luke chapter 10, you know, an expert of the law, a certain lawyer, this one says, stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? And he said, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. I love how Luke phrases it, because he takes, in another part, it says, and the second is like this one. Luke lumps it together. That's the commandment right there. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's as far as we're going in that one. And I think for years, the church has been really good and really diverse at teaching us how to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I think because we're human, we've not always been really good at that. I mean, how many times do we, okay, God, all right, you're putting your finger on this thing in my life. Gosh, I guess it hasn't been with all my heart. You know what I mean? And God's so gracious, he gives us the ability to walk through a process. But for years, we've heard about loving God. And we've even kind of heard about loving people, but we've heard different ways that we can love God and different ways we can worship, different things that we can do to show our love for God. And we've really had that message really laid out in all different styles, and different denominations have done it, you know, and showed us that in different ways. But I think what we have been shy on is the second part of that commandment. Or as Luke shows us, just the ending of that commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. I don't think we've had a lot of practical teaching on what does that look like? What does it really mean to love my neighbor as myself? If that's all lumped in to that commandment, love, what's the greatest? How do I inherit eternal life? Jesus said later, if you do this, you will live. I don't think that just means you'll have eternal life. I think it means you want to experience life. You want to experience that flow from heaven that changes atmospheres and invades earth. Do these things and you'll live. And I think we've missed that last section of that. We haven't known how to love our neighbor as ourselves. Like we get it, but we don't spend a lot of time really talking about that. And Pastor, I'm just going to recap, you know, on some of the stuff he said last week. But honor for me was a strange concept. Honor for me was not something that I'd ever, you know, honor your father and mother, right? That's what the Bible talks about honor. beyond that, not really. But yeah, really, it does. And a couple of years ago, we started just really, God was just started unpacking this idea of honor. What does honor look like? And so just to not freak you out, honor is basically, if you think of honor, it's putting value on something. It has everything to do with value. Say value. It's putting value on something. And so this commandment we have to love our neighbor as ourselves, honor is the attitude and the expression of that commandment. So it's not something different. It's not something new. Wow, what are you teaching us now, Pastor? It's, I don't know who that was, but it's a way to conceptualize that expression of loving someone as yourself. Because if you really just start breaking that down and think that that's a weird thing to love someone as myself. How do I do that? And so honor is one of the ways that we start to wrap our heads around what is God really saying. So for years, the church, we've really focused on doctrine and on knowing our word, and that is so important, guys. And that's like one of the core tenets of us here at COC. But what does Jesus say here? What's the greatest commandment? How do I inherit eternal life? Know your Bible better than anybody in the whole world. It doesn't. And you need to. So don't think for a second that I'm minimizing that. But sometimes we haven't majored on what Jesus said is the major, right? And so I think we've exhausted ourselves on being right instead of on being love. The church has exhausted ourselves on being right instead of on being love. We have, you know, this group or this group, and every group, the funny thing about all of the little groups of Christians, we all believe that we're the right ones. All right? Honor kind of does away with that, but it allows for you to still really think what you want to think. Okay? Honor gives value to people. So it's a kingdom expression of relationship that doesn't make sense to our heads. So here's what happens when all of our little groups, whether it's our in our families, whether it's in our churches, when we gather around being right, anyone else that has a view other than ours, even if it's supported by Scripture, then they're not right. And so then what happens, whether you would admit it or not, we devalue them. And watch this. Just get this right here, right now. How you treat things, how you treat situations, and how you treat people is directly tied to your value for them. Hey, Dad, the faucet's dripping a little bit. Okay, we'll shut it off later. Hey, Dad, there's a pipe burst in the basement and thousands of gallons are running out. There's two different reactions. Why? I have a different value for each situation, so I treat them differently. Hey, Dad, you dropped that piece of paper on the ground. Oh, well, I'll pick it up, I guess. Hey, Dad, the stereo's falling off the shelf. Right? There's different values, so I treat it differently. Yesterday, we were getting ready to come into the deal, and we had to bring some crystal candle holders. And so I was carrying one of them around, and Taylor was laying on our bed. We're getting ready to go. So I chucked it at him, and he was on the bed, and he just freaked out. Dad, isn't that glass? I said, well, it's crystal. Yeah, it's glass, I guess. Well, that could have broken. I'm like, well, it's on the bed. But you shouldn't throw glass. Like, he's got a high value for that because it's glass. Isn't that mom's good stuff? I'm like, well, yeah. Okay. You're right. But he understood we need to treat that in a certain way because it carries a value. And so we get this as a church, love your neighbor as yourself. Who's going to disagree with that? Come on. Nobody. We've all grown up and we've understood. Yeah, you love your neighbor as yourself. That's right. But as soon as we get in a situation when someone's disagreeing with us or someone believes something different than me, they're no longer not right. And I devalue who they are. And I've watched this in my own life for decades, and I've watched it in other Christians who I know have great hearts and will disagree with someone and then begin to attack. And I don't think their heart changed, But the value that they placed on that other person changed. We as people, as Christ followers, place a high value. You want to talk about abortion? Why? Well, because they're babies. They're precious. It's life. At what age do they lose their value? You stand with a picket sign and you defend their right to live. Like, what age do they lose? Do they stop being valuable? At what age do they stop being made in Christ's image? At what age do they have that? What honor does is it uncovers that inherent value in people that God places on them. So I know we're just kind of talking about a lot of ideas here, but it's really what we're learning, and we're not always doing it very well, but what we're learning is honor can maintain your value. I can maintain John's value as like his opinion is important. I might disagree with it. His opinion is important because it's tied to who he is. So when he enters into a room where before I might have gotten defensive right away, I know now because I'm not rallying around being right, I'm rallying around being love. So if there's all these different gifts in the Bible, if there's all these different levels of maturity in the Bible, of Christ followers, people that love Jesus, do you think that we don't learn more? Of course we're learning. We're always learning. So do you think that maybe we could be at different points of learning? Do you think we could have learned on different paths? Do you think that iron sharpens iron? So now I can disagree. And what honor does, it allows for John to passionately defend his views. And it allows for me to passionately defend my views. And that at the end of that, we walk away knowing each other better and understanding each other and understanding where we're coming from. And a little residue of John's life begins to be deposited in me because my destiny is tied up in you guys. But the second I disagree with you, or the second I begin to devalue you as a person, I don't do it intentionally. It's because it's what we've been taught. Because us seven people, we're the ones that really got this figured out, right? Come on. But what I love about honor is it lets you still passionately have your beliefs. Because other people need to hear that. So it doesn't turn you into a robot. But it's always putting value. It's putting value. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2. Honest, I saw this the other day, and it just floored me. Because you know this story. Or it's not really a story. It's a section of Scripture. Jesus walked through. And so if you go and you're like, I still don't believe you, and you start looking up honor, you're going to find some verses that you didn't know were in there. But not just the word honor, the idea of people having value is woven throughout the whole New Testament, throughout the whole Bible. But for God so loved the world, he placed so much value on people that he wanted to restore a relationship, so he gave his own life. Like, that's our starting point, is that God would give everything that he had. You mean those people that are living this kind of life? Yep, those people. So I just have to agree with everything? No, you don't. But you don't get the right to decrease their value because you disagree with them. Look at in James chapter 2. If there comes into your synagogue a man with a gold ring, fine clothing, and there comes in also a poor man in vile clothing, and you have no regard to him that weareth the fine clothing, sit here in a good place and say to the poor man, stand thou there or sit under my footstool. That's a hard version for me to read. Saying, you know, if you give preference to the rich man and you tell the poor man, go sit in the corner and stinky, you know, it doesn't say that. But, you know, I'm going to focus my attention on. For years, I've thought this was just about, hey, don't get all caught up just because people are rich. And it is that. Did not God chose them that is poor out of the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised that loved him? But look at verse number 6. But you have dishonored the poor. James takes this story and he says, let me cover what's going on here. You guys might not think it's a big deal. Well, yeah, they're poor. Hey, you guys smell nice and look nice, and here, you come and sit here. What you've done is you've removed honor from them. You've dishonored them. And God does not want us placing a value on someone that is different than the value he's placed on them. That makes sense? The crux of the matter here wasn't just about that you were treating people differently. It was, but that was more practical of it. The real issue was this. God's put a value on these poor people, and you are treating them in a way that's inconsistent with the value that God placed on them. Whew. Let that one soak in. Well, how do you know that's what do you mean? Look at the verse right before. James brings this out. He says, hold on, did not God choose that? He takes the whole situation, and they weren't understanding it. He's like, guys, this is a big deal. Let me tell you why. Let me open your eyes to the value that God has for these poor people. Let me show you. He didn't just say, hey, treat people fairly. Right? Because there was a principle there that they needed to live by. So there's ways that we can just, hey, you need to do this, period. There's those times in the Bible, but there's other times like this where James is taking an extra couple lines to write in the scroll, and he's saying, hold on, don't remove their value, because look at this. Did not God choose them that are poor as to the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? To be rich in those people that you're treating that way, those are the ones that, like, let me show you their value. Let me show you how God sees them. And that's what he wanted to do. I want to uncover for you, church guys, these poor here that you're treating this way, you see them as less than how God sees them. That's a problem. Let me show you how God sees them. They're going to be heirs of the kingdom, and to be rich in faith, that's the mandate God has chosen on their life. That's the word that God has proclaimed over them. That's the destiny that he's laid out before them, and you're treating them in a way that's not consistent with that destiny. There's a problem with that. Honor. Honor. Verse number 4, it says, you've become judges with evil thoughts. We've judged their value, but our thoughts haven't been kingdom. They've been earthly and evil. I mean, look at that. That's powerful. Because it has to do with how I see people. Where do I put them on my scale of value? And so value lets us walk into situations where I might not normally think that you're worth much. Am I going to be a judge with an evil thought? I mean, that's just hard stuff. I don't even like saying that. It just makes my toes uncomfortable. I don't even want to have that in my hand, like as one of the options. Am I going to be a judge with evil thoughts? Goodness. Or am I going to judge rightly with the kingdom judgment? That's why Jesus walked through and gave women value when they were worthless in his time. That's why Paul wrote a whole letter about a slave of all things. A slave, because they have value. They might be a little different in value in the world's eyes. Guess what? We don't live by that kingdom. Right? It's a different kingdom. We'll have value. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't ever have disagreements. It doesn't mean that we don't ever confront. Well, if we're honoring and loving, then we're just all... No, that's not it. It means that in the middle of that we never decrease someone's value. I don't ever retain the right in the middle of my disagreement with you to attack who you are as a person and devalue you, because I need to maintain honor, because that's kingdom. And all of a sudden, disagreements look, I've had some just incredible conversations where we were on different sides of the issue that we left going, that was really good. Because you don't have to, I don't leave thinking that person is less. I leave thinking they have a different view than I do. And it doesn't mean I have to change mine, but it means that I'm passionate about, you know, go back to John, you know, because I love John, because I want to honor who he is. Like I'm not now just listening to him so that I've got an answer to refute him. I'm listening to him because I want to hear his heart. Right? What do you think our marriages and our families would look like if we practiced that? Whew. Come on. It's love, but it's a component of love. It's a part of love. It's the value that I place on people. And I'm going to finish with this. In this day and age, I don't know if... Raise your hand if you're on social media at all. Facebook or Twitter or any... You know, I don't know what those other dumb ones are. They're all dumb, they say. Have you guys ever seen any disagreements on there? What does that look like? Do you feel like you need a shower when you're done? Right? Why is that? It's not our kingdom. So what, you can't ever disagree? No, that's not what we're saying. Imagine if there was a collective of believers, people walking in kingdom values that were full of leaders. And what leaders bring messes, because all the leaders think that they know what's right, right? It's hard to lead leaders because leaders all have an idea about it. So to bring together a group of passionate people who are committed to being salt and light, who are committed to living out this commandment and live in honor. And people walk in the midst of us, and because we have a culture of honor here that like, whoa, he's really excited about that and passionate about that. Oh, he's really not. This is going to be bad. And we watch that play out as an unbeliever and go, they left for lunch together. That shouldn't happen. People, I believe, in 2017 of believers that are walking in honor, full of conviction, full of the Spirit of God, that in the middle of disagreements, in the middle of vision, in the middle of whatever it is, that we can place so much value on the other person. I just think the world is going to stand stunned. You don't see that. Where do you see that at? I don't know how we're going to reach this world. I stood on my corner and told them about Jesus. But let's show them. Let's show them what Jesus looks like. All these different things that God is. He's patient. He's faithful. He's you know, righteous. There's dozens of them. But there's faithfulness is a thing. Faithful is kind of the action of that. So God is faithful. Patience is a virtue, right? God is patient. He shows patience, right? All of them except love. God is not loving. I mean, he is. You'll find those verses in there. But there's a declarative one. God is love. It doesn't say God is faithfulness. God is, you know, like that's one of the nouns that it says he is. I believe as he indwells us, as we walk our streets, as we show people what relationships in Christ look like, and show people our view of them, God is love. God is in us being love to these people. They get to see Christ. They see love in a tangible form as we honor, as we continue to place value. That's why we feed the poor. That's why we do those things, because they have value. And so let's not be so quick to decrease someone's value because whatever, we disagree with them, or they're not a believer or whatever. They have value. Jesus died for them. Let's maintain that without sacrificing the Word of God and what we believe, because that's truth. But we need to show that love and honor as a practical way to do that. Last quote, culture of honor, Bill Johnson says, is celebrating who a person is without stumbling over who they're not. Amen. Well, that guy, he's not very whatever. Don't get hung up on that. Find the gold. Celebrate who they are. Amen.
Turn with me to Romans 13. Verse number 8. I want to piggyback a little bit How many of you realize how much God has honored you? The Bible says, what is man that you're mindful of him? God, what is man that you would even care? But you've crowned him with glory and honor. So how can we dishonor who God honors? You know, there's a lot of people that want to live by the law. I don't know why, but they want to live by the law. Most of the time, if people are living by the law, it becomes a pride issue. But as we look at Romans 13:8, it says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves has fulfilled the law. The commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command may be, are summed up in this one command. One command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Regardless of what your opinion of the law is, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy it, I came to fulfill it. How did he fulfill it? By going to the cross. By demonstrating the love of the Father. We don't fulfill the law by keeping it. We fulfill the law by loving one another and allowing God to give us value for the people that we think have no value. The word honor is ascribing glory. It's celebrating someone's life. It's praising them. It's giving them value. And as people walk in here, the only picture they get of Jesus is you. I talked to somebody this morning. They've been going to a church in another community. No one shakes their hand. No one talks to them. No one even welcomes them. No one says, hey, it's good to have you here. And no one says, we don't want you here. Get out. But it's like you can walk into a church and be invisible. That's not here.
Amen.
We are called to honor the park rangers.
Yes.
Love the way you're shouting.
That's right.
Amen. I had a God moment this morning. I guess Kirk must have too. Maybe it was about Kirk that I had my God moment. I'm coming in the parking lot and I'm bawling. I'm just crying. And I'm crying out to God. I said, God, help me to honor everyone equally. We all have opinions. It just doesn't mean our opinions are right. And by the way, don't think Kirk was promoting abortion. just don't do that. That's not what he's saying. What he's asking you a question, when does a baby lose its value? But I want to share with us just a couple things here. If it wasn't for God honoring you, you'd be the most miserable person in the world.
That's right.
You'd be without hope. You'd be without life. You'd be without any chance to get to heaven. But the Bible says that he justified us and he reconciled us. And he declared us righteous. And the Bible says that one time you were aliens without God and without hope in this world. You had no chance of life. But every one of you, to gain that life, you came to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, whoever comes to me, I'm not going to shut the door on him. I'm not going to cast you out. And so that honor is built up within us because that's the life of God. Now look at me. I haven't met anybody who hasn't been hurt by people. And most of the time when we get hurt, the first thing that comes into our minds, if we're living in the natural, is, what am I going to do to them? How am I going to get even? You get even by loving them. You get even by honoring them. You'll never get even with someone by doing what they did to you. Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. In other words, if you want to get involved in it, and you want to stir up the pot, and you want to do things to get even, God says, I'm backing away.
That's right.
I'm not going to do anything. So the Bible says, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Honor him.
Yes.
Honor him. Demonstrate that honor. Don't allow what Satan is doing to change your attitude of what God's doing in your life.
Yeah.
And so when somebody walks in here, we honor them. They have value. They have value. What happens is that we have in our minds, and I've done it, our opinion of what people should be. And if they don't fit that opinion, they don't enter our sphere of relationship. And they're outside. But God is saying, honor them. They have value. Exalt them. The Church of Jesus Christ cannot walk in the intolerance of the world. It cannot walk. It cannot have the attitude that the Republicans have or the Democrats have or whoever has. We have to have the attitude that Christ has.
Amen.
That attitude will change lives. That attitude will set people free. That attitude will bring people in. That attitude will love the unlovable. Because there's nobody unlovable except who we refuse to love. And so love, say love.
Love.
Can't hear you.
Love.
Can't hear you.
Love.
Love is the fulfillment of the law. What does that mean? It means for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love is a demonstration of the heart of God. People know that we're loved, but every time you look at the cross, you realize how deep that love was. And you may have been beat up by a church. You may have been beat up by what you call Christians. You may have people writing bad things on you on Facebook. You may have all kinds of this stuff going on. The reaction, let's just take positive action and honor them. It's the only way we win. It's the only way we win. But it's an amazing time, folks, when everything going on around us, to walk in the middle and honor even the people that are doing things to hurt our country. Doing things that we say, oh man, why are they doing that? What is our response going to be? What's our action? Love is a fulfillment of the law. It's the only way it's fulfilled. And what a privilege to put your arm around somebody and say, hey, I know you had some issues, but I love you. And there's an answer. His name is Jesus. There's people here that's gone through all kinds of stuff. Doesn't mean you don't have value. I don't care if you've been in jail, you've been doing this, you've been doing that. You have value. Just don't run away from the value God puts on you. Allow God to honor you. Allow people to honor you. Just allow the presence of God to burn within your heart that you have been created in the image of God and you have value. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Love you. So I close with this. The way we honor God is to love Him. The way we honor the body of Christ is to love them.
Yes.
And the way we honor unbelievers is to love them.
Yes.
An unbeliever is just an unbeliever. They're just people who haven't come to Christ yet. And as we do that, people will see Jesus in us. Now look at me. Some of you are new here. We're not going to beat you up. We're not here to torment you. We're here to build you up in Jesus. We're here to see you grow. We want to see God's calling on your life fulfilled. We want to see you walking in peace and joy and love. We want to see you acclimated into a system of the Holy Spirit where He's leading and guiding and directing your life. We're not here to control you. Holy Spirit will do that. But I'm here to tell you, you have value. You have purpose. You've been called by God. And there are doors opening for you to do the work of the Lord that God is calling you to do. This is the day the Lord has made for us. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad.